Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNory Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me is a whole room full of people. This is pretty sweet. We've got John Flavin. Did I get that right?
You got it right.
Yes, I got it right. John Flavin, Associate Vice President for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. That's a mouthful. For the University of Chicago Polsky Center. John Colson, Director of Operations for ClaustraBio. And Catherine Harris, Lead Scientist for AV Novum. Everything is right?
Yeah, you got it.
This is great. This is like a waiter coming back with their order, and it's actually the right order, which rarely happens to me. So I wanted to have you kind of all here because you guys have some exciting stuff to announce and some victories to celebrate. And then obviously Polsky has been through a ton of really cool change, really cool gift that came in, really big gift that came in, and just a lot of opportunity here in Chicago. And I think it's one of the cool things that I'm noticing in Chicago that I haven't noticed in the past is the universities finally, I say that with a smile as a Northwestern guy, finally are really starting to get it. It's not just about coming out there and being present. They're actually really involved in the startup community and the ecosystem, and it's a huge asset to Chicago. So it's great to see where Polsky has gone with this. So, John, I'm going to kind of leave it to you to set things up for us. What's been going on with Polsky? What do you guys do there? What is the Polsky Center? And how do we manage to get these two awesome entrepreneurs in the room?
So thanks so much. The Polsky Center is really focused on launching startups and helping commercialize innovation emerging from the University of Chicago and also from the Mid-South side of Chicago. We do this through a number of different tools, thanks to the generous gift from Michael Polsky, clean energy entrepreneur who's founder and CEO here of Invenergy. That gift has allowed us to develop many different resources. One, of course, is the Booth School of Business. We have 35 faculty teaching entrepreneurship. It's the number one concentration now at Booth, so it's very popular with regards to startups. That educational platform also has yielded great programs like the New Venture Challenge. It's in its 21st year of operation. And in fact, for the third year in a row, is the top-ranked academic accelerator. So really, firing on all pistons from the standpoint of education and entrepreneurship. But then we don't stop there. We can help venture get off the ground and be launched within the 35,000-square-foot incubator that we've created with a wealth of mentors, about 450 programs and workshops we run at the incubator. We have also the opportunity to invest in some of those ventures. And so our innovation fund, $20 million fund, helps recognize that this type of capital for ventures that are emerging from other parts of campus that involve deeper science and intellectual property, things coming out of the medical center, molecular engineering. And for those of you that don't know, we also manage two national laboratories, so Argonne and Fermilab. There's a groundswell of appetite by researchers there to try to commercialize innovation as well. So the Innovation Fund invests in a lot of these more difficult to commercialize technologies. And so in a nutshell, then, the Polsky Center uses all these tools holistically in a very integrated fashion to be able to help startup companies like the ones you'll hear about today to get started and then on the road to commercialization.
And I think that's the part that has been missing from a lot of universities. And I think, obviously, if you're familiar with the University of Chicago, very successful university, lots of very successful people have come out of this university. And there is certainly a lot of money there and a lot of resources there. And I speak from the side of Northwestern, as that's where I went to. we had the same thing, similar at least, it's comparable. And one of the things that I thought was kind of frustrating there is that this is going back like 5 years. To where we would look at like all the resources. It was a matter of a few phone calls. You'd have the CEO of a company that could have helped me with my startup idea or with the concept to tell me, it's a bad idea, good idea. Sure, love to give you resources. I'm not even asking for a check. I'm just looking like, point me in the right direction. And it was always an awkward relationship. There was always like, well, that's a benefactor for us. And we're, right. And it didn't really mesh together.
Yeah.
And now Northwestern's starting to get their stuff together. And you guys have had it together for a while now, where you have all of these amazing resources right there.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that a lot of universities, I'm on the board of innovation for Marquette, and I'm working with them to try to get this.
I'm a Marquette alum, too.
So. Yeah. Well, there you go. Go Warriors for you.
Go Warriors for
you.
Me.
For me, it's Golden Eagles. I've been working with them to try to get their game to the same level. And ultimately, I think that what we need to start seeing is the universities stop looking at the changes as much of a threat as they are as what a great opportunity to give your kids something to work on right now that's real.
It's a huge opportunity. And so when you look at, the the trajectory that we're on and is being seen also at Northwestern and other great research institutions, University of Illinois as well, is this groundswell of appetite by all kinds of individuals that want to take their idea beyond just an idea. So from the student perspective, they're looking for a more ground-based experiential learning opportunity in an applied setting. So they don't want to just learn about it. They want to practice it. They want to build it. They want to make it. And they want to take it out to the market, and they want to impact the world. Could be through social impact. Could be through starting a new drug discovery business. It could be starting a new computer technology business. I've seen a groundswell of interest from students in that regard. That's driving a lot of these resources being invested. And the same thing holds true for faculty. So to attract and retain the best and brightest faculty today, more and more of those faculty are not satisfied with just doing their scholarly research and publishing a paper. They want to see their idea, their discovery, go out in the marketplace and solve a problem. So if it's a new drug, they want to see it curing patients. They want to see things go well beyond. And in that respect, then, we've invested, as have others, in the infrastructure required to be able to allow us to essentially attract and retain that great talent so that we can help raise our game and be able to produce greater outcomes, more companies, better products, and hopefully do that here right in Chicago and have economic impact.
And that's
as well.
The part I think is unique about this, and it was sort of the part that was unseen by a lot of schools and companies for that matter. I look at organizations and institutions kind of similar in the fact that there was like a fear factor, like we're going to lose you. And I always thought it was dumb to me that you would drop out of University of Chicago or Harvard, which is made famous, all the Harvard drop-offs, to go find a stranger to raise money for an idea when you've got resources, people, money, it's just crazy. So as an example of this, we've got these two startups sitting next to us. And so I kind of want to pivot a little bit of the conversation to, first and foremost, I guess we'll start with you, Catherine. What is AV Novum?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm the lead scientist with AV Novum, and we're all about preventing fungal infections. And so I think our company is a great example of what John was talking about, the infrastructure and help that the Polsky Center can provide. So I'm a postdoctoral fellow in a research lab at the University of Chicago. And just 3 or 4 months ago, we had this discovery that we thought was really cool and interesting and could potentially be commercializable. We'd come across these peptides that we found have antifungal properties. And we realized that the way these peptides were working was really unique. This is a really unique mechanism of action, and it could be applied to a real-world problem, which is immunocompromised patients who are at high risk of antifungal infections and need a better and safer method of prophylaxis to prevent those infections. And so with the funding from the Innovation Fund, I think we're looking to build this company around these peptides and commercializing them as a prophylactic treatment.
Brilliant. I mean, it comes with a thesaurus at times. way past mine. I'm sitting out here in the communication.
Well, but breaking that down and really kind of building, unpacking all of what you just said is essentially, it's taking that idea with first-time entrepreneurs. In this case, her faculty member, Jean Chang's a world-renowned researcher in the area of gastroenterology. And now, again, like I've mentioned before, he's interested not only in, the great work he's done in treating patients, but he wants to build a business around this idea. And how do you get started? How do you raise money? Who are the investors? How do you build a team? We've got all those resources to kind of help you get started. How do you meet up with a business partner? Well, maybe a booth student. And how do we, get guidance from regulatory experts to figure out, what our path to market looks like? And all of that is built within the program and platform that
we have. Well, that's always been the missing piece, right? I mean, if you're a student, it was like, I don't know how to do all these things. I didn't even realize that these assets were there next to us. And now, at least for me, I would leave. I graduated and immediately went to an incubator. It was like, I was at an incubator for the last 2 years paying quite a bit of money for it. I feel like I wish I could have used the tools that same way. And so to see companies like yourself come up and have all of the connections, it would be, like you said, world renowned to help you bring that to a level where maybe it's not this first raise of capital, but that second one, it's like, well, look what the team you've got built here. I mean, at the end of the day, the very first, usually the seed or the next round is based primarily on the fact you've got an incredible team. And obviously you do.
That's right. And having the right team and having the right, they'll need patents and thinking about how you do it. A lot of things. What we noticed when we were putting together our program was the first year of life of a venture, a lot of things can get screwed up. You can pick the wrong team member, the wrong equity strategy, the wrong you know, patent strategy and all those things can get really screwed up in the first year of life. However, if you're in an enriched environment, we have guidance and support like the ones we're offering, we illuminate the pathway. You have better choices, you know, your options. And so more of these ideas then have a greater chance of translation and getting onto the commercial pathway.
Absolutely. And so now we're also not going to leave you out of the conversation, John. John Coulson, for, Director of Operations for Colostro Bio. Talk to us a little bit about what you guys do and sort of how this whole thing has worked out for you guys. How did this opportunity come to you?
Sure. So Colostro Bio is creating new medicines that can prevent life-threatening allergic reactions to food. So our goal is to be able to protect patients, allow them to eat the food that they're allergic to without having a severe allergic reaction.
So my girlfriend is a chemistry teacher and peanut allergy person. This is like the show of all shows.
In stereo. Yeah.
This is perfect. Yeah. Keep it on.
And we're starting with peanut allergies.
In
so
stereo.
That's perfect. Yeah. So Colostro Bio, I think, is a great example of, and for myself personally as an entrepreneur, is a great example of what the university enables us to do. I came as a, I was originally a postdoctoral scholar with the Institute for Molecular Engineering there, which is a brand new school. I got involved with the Innovation Fund early on in the process there and learned a lot as a student and an associate with the Innovation Fund, looking at companies, how would you analyze those? And that eventually turned into, so what happens now when I'm on the other side? Now if I'm an entrepreneur, how am I applying the same things that I've just learned in some of these programs to a new company? And Colostro Bio came about basically because of that. We were able to look at what we needed to do based on what we had seen previously with other companies. We had other resources available to us, such as the Polsky Center's iCore program, which is something where you go out and you actually just talk to customers. And you do that before really the business ever is formed or anything like that, to learn what it is that they have problems with and ultimately be able to structure and create a solution that best matches those. We participated in the New Venture Challenge, which we received fourth place just last week, which is really exciting. And then, of course, we're part of the Innovation Fund, where we also got funding. And so we've really taken advantage of all the resources that the University of Chicago can bring to us as a startup that was started by initially faculty and then as well as students.
Very cool. Other John, if we pivot back on this, one of the kind of questions that I would love to get from you as someone who gets to talk to entrepreneurs like this who are students, brilliant students and entrepreneurs, what is the common theme that you have noticed of those that you think are a great fit? You know what I'm saying? Like we meet companies that are going to be on our stage all the time, and there's some of them who I don't want to say that it's a bad idea. I just don't, there's just something that's just missing. I don't know what it is. And I work every day now to like try to figure out in words what it actually is. But I imagine you see a lot of companies who have a lot of people who are very, very smart, who have access to a lot of, you know, great information. How do you know that this is a company that would greatly be able to benefit from being a part of this?
Well, our program can serve all types of businesses. So we're vertical agnostic. We're really concentrated on that first 18 months of life.
Yep.
That gives us the bandwidth to be able to support many different types of ventures. However, within the University of Chicago, we have some very unique assets that we have a special focus on when it comes to what makes us unique. So we've got a world-class medical center, so things in the biomedical research arena are going to be important strategic assets. Things in the data sciences arena between the University of Chicago and Argonne, we've got two of the fastest supercomputers in the world. So data sciences is a big underpinning of a lot of the aspects of the ventures that we're supporting. So we're going to slant the incubator selection process toward those types of companies that we think we're uniquely positioned to support. Yep. In this emerging ecosystem, because as you know, Chicago's rising in a very diverse way. Yep. You know, River North, you've got 1871, you've got Matter, you've got the Garage up in Northwestern, you know, Research Park down in Urbana-Champaign. So everybody's addressing different parts of the ecosystem. And when you think about the South Side and what we're doing within the community. So I mentioned that, you know, we've got this 35,000 square foot incubator, but it's right in the heart of a neighborhood. So it's very diverse. So we have, you know, 25% participation from African Americans, 50% minority backgrounds make up our 3,500 person membership. That makes for really unique then types of businesses that we're able to build. So the number one thing that we look for, aside from kind of that preference toward a deeper tech challenge that is not being addressed in this market, things that have an intense need for capital, regulatory path that makes it more difficult, but the upside and the importance of these things that could make it out, a cure for cancer, a new kind of battery, new water technologies, the bets we're making are the bets we should be making. So let's assume the technology is good. What I look for is that person all in? Have they have are they all in on this thing? And you know, and I've been guided by my own entrepreneurial path in this regard. And you know, as people have asked me that along my journey as an entrepreneur, it's been kind of this make or break, you know, back against the wall, you know, we've got to succeed kind of mentality that I look for in the individuals that we're about to make a bet on.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and I think the Kellogg and the Booth individuals on this side of the argument are going to like cringe and get a little bit pissed at my comment here, but I have to say, of all the people that we've talked to, and I'm talking 300 people have been in and out of the seat that you're sitting in or on stage, and the one common theme I've seen across all the really, really good ones is an obsession with the minutia, an obsession with the practice, to where when I look for somebody who's an entrepreneur, I want you to pay attention to the numbers. Don't get me wrong. I do. And it's very important. But I would much rather stumble upon someone who is in a lab obsessing mm-hmm. over the details of what they're trying to do, obsessing over the analytics on user data. And I have to tell them, like, you know, you also have to run a business here and show them. But listen, we've got the resources. Mm-hmm. I can plug into to Paro and they can help you manage your accounting and books at this stage. It's
correct.
Small, no big deal.
Yeah.
I want to see someone who's absolutely obsessed with what it is that they're trying to solve. Because if they're not, it takes one deterrent thing and they're kind of like off the radar and they're gone.
That's absolutely true. And again, I've seen it time and again. And, you know, if you're going to treat it as a hobby, then it's probably not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, and but if you're all in and you're focused and you're obsessed and this has to succeed, then you probably will. And at least from an investor's perspective, which is the role that we're in as we make, you know, investments and support to many of these ventures, 200,000, you know, going into Closer Bio, 150,000 going into AV Novum, and another third company called Switch Source, working on new energy storage, backup generator technologies. They all had those qualities as they moved through that process.
It's so funny because it just reminded me of the story. There was a kid that I went to grad school with who was running through the engineering program at Northwestern, and I shall leave his name out. He's very well known in the community now. But whenever I would see him, he always had his pockets were always full of soy sauce and like a mustard sauce. Like that's all he ever had in his pockets, like little packets of it. And he's like, "Yeah, I work so hard. I don't make a lunch. I don't have any money. I don't make any money. I'm just focused on trying to get, you know, my MVP built. Yeah. So I never know what I'm going to eat, but I just know that I can make it all taste like one thing and be okay with it. Whether
like
it's ramen
that.
Or rice, he didn't care what
I
it was.
I like that.
He just dumped the same stuff.
That's great. As an entrepreneur, you work with what you have. You work
I laughed.
With what
I was
you
like,
have.
This is amazing. Mm. Like you know you're committed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know you're committed when your lunch is predetermined to taste like soy sauce and mustard. Like
well, and the other thing, too, speaking of resources, I mean, we were fortunate to announce last week a $100 million gift by the Duchess Wah family to invest in a brand new type of science using what's known as the microbiome. Microbiome being essentially, you know, all the tiny cells, you know, in our body, many of which are in the gut. That's really a brand new science that University of Chicago is pioneering that is leading to new potential therapies in all different types of diseases, ranging from cancer to peanut allergies to fungal infections. The two companies that we're investing in here are emerging out of work in the microbiome space. And I think what's also unique about that gift is it's transformative in the sense that the investment is not only being made in the science, but it's also in the Polsky Center's ability to be able to commercialize the innovation that comes out to actually bring products to patients, both in terms of preventative care, maybe probiotics, or treatments like the ones that we've invested in here today. So if you look at that whole picture, it's very integrated. It's all these resources. And what I'm saying is the key characteristic of a successful entrepreneur. I think it's the same marking for an entrepreneurship program is that you got to be all in, you got to be obsessed. And we certainly are at University of Chicago.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Where do people go on your end? Where do people go to learn more about Polsky, and especially for students? And I'm sure that you guys have a great marketing team working on this. It's everywhere. I know you can go on Twitter right now because I see it blowing my phone up. But where do people go to learn more about Polsky Center as well as just all of these different things you're working on?
Well, I mean, many different ways. You know, start with the website, you know, polsky.uchicago.edu is a great place to start. You can email me, jflavin1@uchicago.edu. I love, you know, talking to entrepreneurs. And, you know, those are two great places
now,
to get started.
One question I missed out on this. You just brought it up. It kind of hit me. Was, do you have to be a student or an alumni of University of Chicago to be a part of this?
No. In fact, about 25% of our membership comes from the outside community. And, you know, one of our core partners here in this ecosystem is University of Illinois College of Engineering in Urbana-Champaign, as an example. And we hope to build more of those partnerships across the whole ecosystem. We frequently have companies that we're co-incubating with Northwestern. In fact, the New Venture Challenge team was a joint team from Kellogg and Booth. So, you know, to your point, this ecosystem really comes together when you are collaborating across each of the research institutions.
I love seeing when you've got the institutions not only just collaborating, but sticking to the things, not necessarily have to stick to it, but like sticking to the things that they do best. Work on the things that you've got the best assets for. Like I still to this day don't understand. This is me telling Northwestern as an alumnus, listen to me, focus more on media and innovation. Now, don't just send students there. Use the tools that you've got access in. I never understood that. Very cool. Where else do people go? You were saying one other thing when I cut you off. Where else do people go to
My email address, jflavin1@uchicago.edu. And I'm sure, I don't know if you want to give your contact information.
Yeah, so I was going to pivot over to you guys, of course, as a final thing, where, you know, one final thought on what you have learned out of this experience so far, what has been the number one value you've gotten out of it, as well as where do people go to learn more about your company?
Sure. So I think the number one value for me as a student is to be able to meet and get plugged into the ecosystem, to connect with other successful entrepreneurs, to learn from them so that we can take what we learn from them and put it into our company every day. For Clostra Bio, if you'd like to learn more, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Clostra Bio, ClostraBio. And we have a website, ClostraBio.com, where we have more information and you can email us.
Very cool. And Catherine, last but not least.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. For me, as a scientist, I think the most interesting thing that I've taken away from this process is just getting connected to all the resources that are available to take a basic science discovery and move it towards commercialization. This isn't something I had any training in or any experience in before starting this process. And just meeting these people, understanding what it takes to make a business work has been really fascinating for me. And we are a brand new company and don't yet have a website, but you can contact me at kgharris@uchicago.edu, and I'd be happy to talk to anybody about fungus or antifungals or whatever you want to talk about. Email me your fungus questions.
I hope you've got your spam set up on your email apps. I'm not sure if that's the way to lead that, but it's still hilarious nonetheless. Catherine, thank you so much. John, number one, thank you so much. John, number two, thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This has been great. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.